All right. Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Temura is Lamed Gimel. We're back on Lamed Beis. We're starting in the Mishnah on the very top of the Amud. We're really getting to the end of the Masechta. We are in the seventh parak of Temura, and we are highlighting differences between Kashe Mizbech and Kashe Bedek Abayis. Very basic concepts that come up, very general concepts that come up over the course of the seventh parak of Temura, and we continue. Okay, so the Mishnah says that there's no changing, meaning once you set it into a particular Kedusha, so it's locked into that particular Kedusha. Take a look at the top Rashi on the Amud, Mekdusha L'Kedusha, Kacha Berek Abayis, Shehik Disham L'Mizbech, L'Wasa Klum. So let's say, for example, Rashi gives a simple example, let's say you're Makdir something for Berek Abayis. Okay? And then you try to give it an upgrade, and you try to be Makdish at L'Mizbech. Now,
it's not yours anymore, though.
Huh?
How can you do that?
You can't.
It's not yours.
Oh. But we're not. Oh, what's the Chiddush? Okay, fine. That's, okay, so B'Shehikdish L'Mizbech lost a klum, so you can't do that. So the so once something belongs to Bedek Abayis, so as Phil points out quite accurately, no longer yours. So you can't elevate it. You can't give it a new kedusha. You can't make matzah mizbech. And Rashi continues, lost a klum of a kashim mizbech and mishanim kedusha ola l'shlamim or mishanim la'ola. And then Rashi makes a second point, which is the following: let's say you already have it as kedusha mizbech, but obviously as kedusha mizbech, you have to identify it in terms of what carbon it's going to be. It's going to be an ola. It's going to be a shlamim. Asham, Chatas, right, Toda, we got it. So it's got to be one of the carbonas. So let's say you locked it into a particular carbon, and now you want to change carbonas. That you can't do either. Ein Mishan Mikdusha L'Kedusha, says Rashi, means, again, once it's locked into a particular Kedusha, so that's it. It's set for that Kedusha, and you cannot change the dial. And even, I mean, your argument could be a very good argument, meaning I'm going now from Shlamim to Ola. Right, that's an upgrade, right? Rashi says it doesn't matter. The Mishnah is telling us it doesn't matter. Once it's locked into a kedusha, that's it.
Are you allowed to dedicate something with Bedek Abayis, which could?
Yeah, so that's right. So that's an excellent point. Now, from the way Rashi sets it up, it sounds like you can, right? Because Rashi's saying once it's a mizbeach, once it's Bedek Abayis, it can't go up to mizbeach. Sounds like it's something that could have gone up to mizbeach. Yeah, so you're right. That does sound like that way from Rashi. Now, I'm just thinking out loud right now. Could be that we're talking about animals, which would be a problem. Could also be that we're talking about something like grapes or olives, which could go on the Mizbech, meaning they could be Nesachim on the Mizbech. So it could be that we're, you know, that the Mishnah is including even that as well, but that's just me thinking out loud. I don't know if that's correct. Okay, Umikashin Aso Hektish Ilui. Okay, here we go. We get to now a tricky part of the Mishnah, right, a little bit complicated. And that is the following. The Mishnah says that you can give it a Hekdesh Ilui. Okay? Before we start forward with this next point of the Mishnah, let me just give just a brief introduction. It's an interesting point to consider, and this really bounces off exactly what Phil said just a moment ago. We have basically two types of Kedusha. We have Kedushas Bedek Abayis and Kedushas Mizbech. Kedushas Bedek Abayis means I'm going to offer something to the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple upkeep, meaning I'm giving it to the Beis HaMikdash. And then there's Kedushas Mizbeach. Which one of the two, if I were to ask you, which one of the two is less yours or less now in your possession once you're Makdish it? And the answer is, and it's not so intuitive, but the answer is Bedek Abayis. That's, yeah, it's accurate. Bedek Abayis, when you're Makdish something for Bedek Abayis, that means now it's not mine anymore at all. It now totally belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the only thing I can do now is just basically hand it over to the Beis HaMikdash. It's no longer mine. When I'm Makdish something to the Mizbeach, that means it's a carbon. It's my carbon. Now, what exactly does that mean? It's my carbon. So by carbon, ola, doesn't really mean a whole lot. Meaning, whatever kapara element there is, that's my kapara. Right? By a chatas, you understand that a lot better, because a chatas, you have real kapara. By a shlamim, we certainly understand what that means, because I get to eat the meat of that carbon. So by a carbon, interestingly enough, it's still shayach to me, even though it's not mine. I don't have ownership of it anymore. Right, I give you a simple example. I take a carbonola and I say, oh, I go over to a woman. I want to be Makdish a woman. I want to be Mekadish a woman, right? Based on my ownership of the carbon. I can't do that. I don't own it anymore. But it's more shayach to me. Okay. It's an important point to realize as we're about to proceed into the next part of the Mishnah that I still have certain rights and quasi ownership like rights of a carbon. So, where am I going with all this? The next point of the Mishnah is Matish Narso Hekdesh Ilui. With this modified ownership that you have over a carbon, you can consecrate that as well. So, in other words, you already now have a carbon ola. Let's give a nice simple example, and I want to now give it Hekdesh Ilui, meaning I want to now donate the value of this animal to me, to Bedek HaBayis. Sure. Now, what value does it have to me? So Rashi goes through both scenarios. Meaning whenever we talk about a carbon, a personal carbon, we basically have to categorize it in terms of what it is. It's either going to be a neder or nedava. Neder means I have personal liability on this animal. Something were to occur to this animal, so then I'm totally on the hook. Right? What's recourse? Total recourse of this animal. As opposed to nedava. Nedava means that no, I have no recourse on the animal whatsoever. Something happens to the animal. It's a shame, it's too bad, but I don't have any personal recourse, but I still have a value even in an adava. What the value I have in an adava is, I'll speak about in just a moment. But let's first talk about neder, because neder is easy. Okay, so I have total recourse now on this animal, total liability on the animal. Now you understand. So it's a carbon ola. I don't own the animal, it's no longer mine, but because I have total liability of the animal has a value to me. Because if I lose the animal, I'm on the hook for the total animal. So if I have a carbon and I want to give it Hekdesh Ilui, which means that I want to now give to the Beis HaMikdash the value of the animal to me, well, it's very valuable to me. Because if I lose it, I'm going to have to pay its full value. So therefore, I'm now on the hook for the full value of the animal to the Beis HaMikdash, in addition to the fact that the animal still, of course, is a carbon. Okay. What about Nedava? So this is a little bit trickier. So if I say now I want to give Hekdesh Ilui of a Nedava, again, there's no recourse, I have no liability. So what am I giving? So Rashi tells us that what I'm giving is what's called Tovas Hanah. Now Tovas Hanah over here is a little bit difficult to understand. Tovas Hanah, what does that normally mean? Tovas Hanah means I get to select, I get to choose who I'm giving it to. Now allocation is a value, right? We go over this time and again throughout Shas. Right, the ability to decide who gets it, that has an apparent and intrinsic value to that. So here we're talking about a carbon. Do you really have the power to choose? Now, I ask that as the question because generally speaking the answer is no. Meaning, how does a carbon work? I go to the Beis HaMikdash, who's ever working in the Beis HaMikdash at the time, they're going to bring my carbon. So it's a little bit awkward to say that you have Tovas Hanah. It's a little bit awkward to say it, but Rashi says it. What can I tell you? Rashi says it. V'im Nedava. I'm in the middle of the big Rashi in the Mishnah, right? V'im Nedava. It's about 20 lines from the top of the page. It's the last word of the line. V'im Nedava. De'im Meisa Einu Chay Bachriyusa Nimsa Shein Lo Chelak Ba El Tovas Hana Derashai Li Tol Davar Mort Mi Yisrael Chaveiro. And you can even take a little bit of a, I call it a bribe. It's not really a bribe, but we understand, right? You could, right? A consideration. How about that? I mean, you use a nice fancy legal term. So davar mu'am yisrael chaver k'dei shi'iten ol asos os leben bito kohen, right? My son-in-law, the kohen, right? So I have a son-in-law who's a kohen. I don't, but right. I'm still a couple years away from that. But in other words, I have a son-in-law who's a kohen. So I'm going to give you a little bit of money so that you'll direct the carbon towards my son-in-law, the kohen. So hakriva k'dei shi'iten ol asor. Okay, so Rashi is a little bit difficult because Rashi, he doesn't make it sound like he's saying that you can actually pay somebody to earmark a particular coin to do your carbon. That's not normally how we describe how carbonists work. Truma for sure works like that. Truma, you could definitely pay somebody to guide Truma in a particular direction. I saw somebody say that. I forgot who. Somebody suggested that's exactly what Rashi means. That what you're going to do is you're going to wait for your son-in-law's mishmar in the Beis HaMikdash. That could very well be. Okay, that's a very good pshat in Rashi. Okay, good. Very good. And also you can be machrim it as well. Now, go back to Erechin. Everyone remember, Charama, There are two types of cherem. There's cherem bedek habayis and cherem kohanim. Let's assume right now that we're talking about cherem kohanim. What does cherem kohanim mean? It means that basically I'll declare anything to be a cherem, like this little item right over here, and that means now that it is has kedusha. Now in cherem kohanim, it has kedusha until I give it to a kohen. Once I give it to the kohen, it loses the kedusha. Until I give it to the kohen, there's actually an issur me'ila on this little item over here until I give it to the kohen. So if I want to, with a karban, I could be machrim, which again, same basic point, means that I'm going to be on the hook for the value of whatever my value is in that karban. If it's a neder, it's a full value. If it's an adav, it's a tovas hanah. And that value then has to be given to a kohen. Okay. And finally, the last point of the Mishnah v'yimeisu yikberu. What if the animal dies? Now, again, let's assume we're still on the topic of kachim mizbeach, animals that are going to the animals that kedusha tagof, and Rashi explains. Rashi over here offers up two explanations. Rashi and Mesu kachim mizbeach. I'm reading from Rashi. Afilo acher shehumamu aval adayin lo niftu. So let's say it developed a blemish, but you didn't get a chance to redeem it yet, and it died. Yikbaru v'ena yachol evdosam lachlim laklavim. So what are you going to do now? You're going to redeem it? You can redeem it. So the only thing that's going to happen is that you're going to let it be eaten by dogs. And there is one opinion that says that you can do that, but that's not the accepted position. You cannot be poda animals for achilat klavim. And Rashi says, and even if you want to take that position, but then you can only redeem it if the animal's still alive. But over here, the animal's dead already, and you need this requirement of hamada varacha. Stay tuned. Later on this morning, we're going to be discussing in detail exactly what that requirement is of hamada varacha. That will be a big part of today. Inami haimetsu kugon sha'avar v'shachtam kodim pijonam. Or Rashi gives another pshat in this Mishnah that you shechted it before you were poda, v'kamer shaven yochol evdosam. And now, because you shechted it before you were poda, it's too late. You can't poda them. Lahachlim debeinan hamada varacha. Because you still need this requirement of Hamad Avaracha. Again, that's coming up later this morning. Okay. Good. The first fundamental point of the Mishnah is that you can't be Mishana. Once you give something a Kedusha, it's locked into that Kedusha. You can't go from Bedek Habayis to Kedusha Saguf. Even within Kedusha Saguf, you can't change from one carbon to another. That's the first part of the Mishnah. We're past that. We're now up to the next part of the Mishnah, which is this Hektish Ilui, meaning a carbon where I want to now give an additional kedusha on the pre-existing carbon, and what I'm being makdish is my value in that carbon. Amar Rav Huna. We start with the Gemara. Kashim is bechshi tfisom lechaim kohanim lo asa klom. Now Rav Huna says that let's say you have a carbon, kashim is bech, and then you want to add on top of that cherem kohanim. So Rav Huna says lo asa klom, you've done nothing. Okay. Now, if you've been following me in the Mishnah, there's a lot going on in the Mishnah. But if you've been following me in the Mishnah, you realize that what Rav Huna says totally contradicted what we just said in the Mishnah. Because in the Mishnah we said that you can give Hektish Ilui to a Karban, and then the Mishnah followed up by saying, U'machrim amoso, and you could be Machrim on top of that. And I assumed, which the Gemara later on will make that same assumption, that our Mishnah is talking about Cherem Kohanim. Fine. So if you put all that together, you realize that what Rav Huna is saying now flies in the face of what we just said. My time amakra, so what's the reason behind Ula? Sorry, not yet. Rav Huna, amakra, kochem kodesh kadashim hu la'ashem. Kochem de kodesh kadashim have, hahu la'ashem lehave. He darshans. You don't find this that often. Where you have an amora, state of halacha, and just simply say, and it's a drasha, and I'll tell you the drasha. Meaning, right? You with me? Meaning, we'll get drushas from a brisa. We'll get drushas from a mechilta. Right? We don't normally. It happens, but not with frequency. That you get drushas straight out of an amora. Okay, but that's what's happening right now. And the pasuk says, "Kol cherem kodesh kadashim lahu laHashem." Any cherem, which is kodesh kadashim, which is a carbon. And he darshins like this: Kochem de kodesh kadashim have, hahu la Hashem la have. It's exclusively to God, meaning God has a exclusivity to any carbon, which means that if you want to try to add on top of that, layer on top of that, another kedusha, specifically here, cherem, meaning cherem kohanim, it's not going to take. That's a drasha. Okay. Meisei. To which now the Gemara is going to ask a question after question on Rav Huna. We could start with our Mishnah, but we're not going to start with our Mishnah. We're going to quote, the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa. Meisei, the Gemara quotes, Kache Bedek HaBayis, Shehi Tfisam, Bein L'Kashim Mizbech, Bein L'Cherem Kohanim, Lo Asa Klum. Okay, so the Braisa says that if you have Kache Bedek HaBayis and you try to be Matfis, you try to layer on top of that, Kache Mizbeach, Cherem Kohanim, Lo Asa Klum, you've done nothing. Right, this goes back to the point that we made back in the Mishnah. Kache Bedek HaBayis is not yours anymore at all. Meaning, once you establish something to be Kache Bedek HaBayis, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Now you want to try to layer on top of that a new Kedusha? It's just simply not yours. It's not going to take. Okay? Cherem Kohanim, Sheit Fisim, Mein L'Kache Mizbech, Mein L'Kache Bedek HaBayis, Lasa Klum. And the same thing is true with Cherem Kohanim. So in other words, I have something that I now dedicated to the Kohen via Cherem. So again, it's the same shot. It's not yours. So you want to layer another Kedusha on top of that and make another obligation either to the Mizbeach or to Bedek HaBayis on top of your Cherem Kohen? It can't. It won't take.
It wasn't yours to do in the first place.
Right. Okay. Correct. That's it. It's done. It's not yours. Okay. Good. Period. That's the end of the Braisa. Now the Braisa. Right. Follow. Now the Braisa spoke about Kache Bedek HaBayis, and the Braisa spoke about Cherem Kohanim. And the basic point of the Braisa is they're not yours. You can't do anything with it. What did the Braisa not speak about? Kache Mizbeach. Yeah, the Braisa didn't speak about that. And so now the Gemara is going to make a simple diuk. HaKashim is Be'ach Shehidfis L'Chem Ekohanim Asha Asa Asui. So the Braisa doesn't say this, but it's clearly not there in the Braisa that if I have Kachim is Be'ach, a carbon, I could layer on top of it whatever I want. I could layer on top of it Bedek HaBayis, I could layer on top of it Chem Ekohanim. Good. And to Yufta the Rav Huna, that's a difficulty on Rav Huna. Amalcha Rav Huna, Kishiyari Ahada, Shayare. So Rav Huna says, you're right, the Braisa didn't speak about it. It left it out. Shayare over here means shir, like shirayim. Like it's leftovers. You're right. The Braisa left out the case. But I'm going to tell you why the Braisa left out that case. The Kashim is Bech Shehit. Sorry. Shehit Fisan LeBedek HaBayis, Masha Asa Asui. Look, if you want to be Matfis Bedek HaBayis Kedusha on top of your carbon, that you can do. Because remember, carbon still has a value to you. Neder, full value. Nedava tovas hana. A carbon still has a value to you. And if you want to take that value and be makdish at that value, that's fine. That's no problem. Aval chem ekohanim lo asa klum. But you can't be, you can't give it a cherem value on top of the kedusha as mizbech. Why not? So again, Rav Huna will say it's a drasha. Meaning I don't have a svara behind that, but I have a drasha. So that's why the Braisa didn't talk about Kedushas Mizbeach, because in the world of Kedushas Mizbeach, it's the halacha split. You want to be Madfis Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, that you can do. You want to be Madfis Kedushas Cherem, that you can't do. And so that's why the Braisa didn't mention it. V'lisnei agabe hanach, tanadiyas beitarte ketani, tanadiyas beitarte lo ketani. And the Gemara says exactly for that reason, it didn't mention it. Because lo, there's not tarte, there's not two. Meaning there's only one halacha regarding Mizbeach, which is that you could be matfisit lebedek habayis, but there are not two halachas, as opposed to Cherem Kohanim and bedek habayis, where there are two halachas in both. Okay. Tanan. The Gemara now is going to attack Rav Huna again, based on a mikdash, on a Mishnah. Makdishos and hektish ilui. So my love hektish ilui lebedek habayis, umachrimim lecherem kohen. So now the Gemara quotes our Mishnah. And our Mishnah says, look, you have a carbon. You can layer on top of that Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. Everyone agrees that that's correct. And then the Mishnah seems to be saying, not seems, the Mishnah then says, and you can be Machrim. And presumably, you know what Machrim means? Cherem Kohanim. Okay? And once again now, that's going to be difficult for Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says that you cannot layer cher mekoin on top of a carbon. Lo ida ve'ida kachet bedek abayis v'lo shna mapik lehu b'lashon hekdesh lebedek abayis v'lo shna mapik lehu b'lashon cher me lebedek habayis. To which the Gemara says, no. When the Mishnah Armisha says cherem, it means cherem bedek habayis. That's what it means. Remember back in Erechin, cheremim can go either way. Now, if stam, meaning if you didn't articulate and you just simply said cherem, that's a machlokus, but the halach is stam charamim lekohanim, that if I just declare this to be cherem without specifying, goes to kohen. But our Mishnah, according to Rav Huna, is talking about where you specify and you said cherme bedek habayis. What's the point of the Mishnah? The Gemara says very simply, it doesn't matter how you say it. You could say kedushas bedek habayis, you could say cherme bedek habayis. That's the point of the Mishnah. V'halo tenihachi detanya bebraisa. The Gemara says, look, you want to say that pshat in the Mishnah, it's okay. Meaning, it would work in the Mishnah. But the Gemara says, but here I have a braisa, and this braisa is clearly not in your favor. The braisa says, hektish ilui kache bedek habayis machrim amoso cherme kohanim. Yeah, the braisa says clearly that you can layer cherme kohanim on top of a karban. Va'od HaTanya. And the Gemara says, and I'll quote you another braisa. Kachem Mizbech, Sheikdish Lechem Kohanim, Masha Asa Asui, that if you have a carbon and you layer on top of it, Chem Kohanim, Masha Asui, what's done is done. It's interesting. It sounds like from this braisa, you shouldn't do it. That's what it sounds like from the braisa. I don't know why, meaning either you accept Rav Huna's drasha, which means that you can't do it, or our Mishnah says you can do it. I don't fully understand the braisa. The braisa makes it sound like it's not the best.
It's like the
yeah, Masha also Asui. So I don't know why there is that middle position. Okay, for whatever reason. But point is Tiyufta to Rav Huna Tiyufta. But the Gemara says okay, right? Knockout punch, right? Rav Huna, the braisa clearly rejects Rav Huna's position. Look, the simple reading of our Mishnah knocks out Rav Huna's position as well. Although that was defensible, but still, Lamaisa, Rav Huna's done. So now we go back to the point that we started off with, which is Rav Huna has a drasha. Rav Huna has a pasuk. Now again, it may go back to what I said in the beginning, but it's my speculation. You don't really have to, you know, you don't have to take it home with you, but it's a drasha of an Amora. So maybe that in of itself has its own unique characteristic to it. The Gemara basically asks, what do you do with Rav Huna's drasha? Rav Huna kra kamar, ama ula, ama kra, cherem kol cherem. So first of all, now we get to Ula. Ula says, I'll take your pasuk and I'll darsh it the exact opposite. In other words, the pasuk says, kol cherem. Kol is a ribui. We see this time and again. And it means that I could be machrim objects like this, and I could be machrim a carbon. Now, again, how does that work? We go back to what we said in the beginning of this morning. When I'm machrim a carbon, it means whatever value I have in a carbon. Neder, it's full value. Nedava, tovasana. Whatever value I have in my carbon, I want to be machrim. I can be machrim, which means that now I'm on the hook for its value to the kohanim. Good. Umi amar ula hachila amar ula. The Gemara says, okay. But on the other hand, consider the following, and that is Ula says this: Amatris Ola Levedek Habayis Ein Ba Ela Ikuv Gizbarim Bilvad. Yeah, Ula makes the following statement: let's say you're Matris Ola Levedek Habayis, okay, which is what we've been talking about now from the beginning of this morning. I have a carbon Ola, and then I am Matris. I then say that its value to me, I want to offer now to the Bedek HaBayis. Now, based on everything we've been saying up until this point in this morning, what that means now is I'm on the hook to bring its value, in addition to bringing this as a carbon, to bring its value to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Ula says, the only thing now is Ikov Gizbarim. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi at the top of the next Amud, Gizbarim she'eno kreva ashi avoa gizbarim la'amod al gabal. Okay, in other words, if it had this animal been your carbon, you'd have to be standing right alongside the carbon. Not every single moment, but in other words, when the animal's brought into the Beis HaMikdash, remember you have that smicha that you need to do, and tenu, well, this is an ola, so okay. But in other words, you need to stand by the carbon. You need to be by the carbon. Now that you are makdish the carbon to Bedek Abayis, you basically now relinquish your bilus of the carbon, and now bilus of the carbon belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. I hope this is making sense. It's a little tricky, meaning I understand that this is not easy Gemara to get through, but that's essentially what Ula is saying. Unlike what we've been saying up until this point in time. It's in fact, if you're following well, you realize Ula seems to be going against our Mishnah. Meaning, our Mishnah says that when you invest a carbon with Kedusha, it's still your carbon. It just simply means that now you're on the hook to bring whatever value it has, it represents to you, to the Beis HaMikdash on top of this being a carbon. It sounds like this statement of Ula, what he's saying is, nah, all you're doing is you're just basically transferring your bilus of a carbon over to the Gizbar. Okay, anyway, but
we'll do it.
Okay, right. That being stated, nevertheless, so Hamad Fisola Bedekabai is aimed by Ella Ikov Gizbar Belvad. So Ukra, important words missing from the Gemara over here. Midrabanan Ukra Lemi'ila Asa. Yeah. This din is only a din derabanan, and as far as the pasuk is concerned, the kolcherim pasuk, that is for the iser of mi'ila. Lemi'ila lama lekra kajek kadoshim ksibbo. So the Gemara says, what? Mi'ila, I understand, I need another pasuk to teach me about mi'ila? We already have a pasuk. Kajek kadoshim ksibbe. Meaning, we know that mi'ila applies to anything which is under the category of kodesh kadoshim. So this is already a carbon, and it's a carbon ola. So what do I need an extra pasuk to tell me? Oh, there's an iser mi'ila. So and on top of that, what are we saying? What we're saying is that I have a carbon, and on top of it being a carbon, I'm also machrim it. Okay. So now what you're suggesting to me is that it's a twofold mi'ila. Mi'ila on the carbon, and mi'ila on the additional cherim value that the carbon has. Gemara says, but why? It's kodesh kadoshim. So lam lekar kodesh kadoshim k'sibbe latamech had amar Rabbi Yanai ein me'ila mufreshes matara ela ba'ola bavad shenem nefesh kisim o ma'al v'chata b'shkaga v'kachay Hashem ha'miyuchadim la'Hashem avachatas v'asham lo nafka ela midarebi. But the Gemara says, look, even in the world of me'ila, when we say that there's me'ila by other karbanos, that also comes to us via drasha. That doesn't come to us straight out of the pasuk. The Tanya, the Rebbe Omer, so if Kol Chel Hashem tells me that there's an Isser of Me'ila, even on the parts of the Shlamim that are going on the Mizbeach, parts of the Shlamim that go on the Mizbeach, categorically, status-wise, is called Kachim Kachim. But without the Drasha of Rebbe, I wouldn't have known that. So Lam Likra, Kachim Kadashim Ksebu. So the Gemara says, look, the fact of the matter is that I need a pasuk to darshan from Me'ila, even if it's called Kachik Kadashim. Okay, good. So the idea that I have this pasuk called Kol Cherem to tell me that there's an Isser Me'ila on Cherem, that's fine. That's not a big deal. Gufa. Okay, we're going to go back to the statement of Ula. Ula says, I have a carbon. I matish the carbon. Right? Again, I know that's weird, but it means that whatever value it represents to me, I matish it. Ula says, what does that mean? It translates into, you no longer have to be there for the bringing of the carbon. The gizbar need to be there for the carbon.
Ula is saying more than that. He's saying the actual ownership.
Right. In other words, right. Whatever. Correct. Whatever ownership you.
It's not just the value, though. It's the ownership.
It's the own. It's a full ownership.
Title changes over.
Correct. Absolutely correct. So Meisvei the Gemara says, "I'll challenge you." Hamagishol betekabayis also l'shochta ad shetifta. So the Gemara says that if you're magishol betekabayis, so you can't shecht it until you redeem that kedusha that you invested into the animal. So the Gemara says, "Ula, what happened to Ula?" Meaning, according to Ula, all that happened is, right, as we just expressed very well, is that you change title, but there's no extra kedusha in the animal. What are you redeeming in the carbon? So the Gemara says, Midrabanan. So the Gemara says, okay, that idea that you have to redeem your extra kedusha, that's just a din derabanan. Meaning Ula was expressing to us what happens min haTorah. What happens min haTorah is that I'm transferring ownership from my carbon over to the Beis HaMikdash. And what midrabanan is happening, however, on a rabbinic level, is that there is this extra kedusha on the carbon which needs to be redeemed. Hachinami mistabra, and the Gemara says, and in fact, this is logical. Midiktani seifa imaver v'shechta masha asar asoi, because the Braisa says, look, what if you shechta without redeeming it? Okay, I mean, you shouldn't have done that, but fine. Masha asar asoi, good. So elamai midrabana, so the yachin masefa malin shtei meilos. So the Gemara says, okay, but if you read on in the Braisa, which the Gemara is about to do, you'll see that the Braisa says, and how many Me'ila violations did you violate? Two Me'ila violations. One carbon, two Me'ila violations. Why? Yeah. Because on one hand, it's a carbon. On the other hand, you are Makdish the carbon, which means that you layered on top of that an extra level of Kedusha. Now, if you want to tell me that extra level of Kedusha is just a din derabanan, but midar raisa, it's still just a karban, so that's one me'ila violation. But now, if you want to tell me that there are two me'ila violations, that sounds like the karban provides one me'ila violation, and the extra Kedusha that you gave it provides another me'ila violation. But the only way to have this conversation of a double me'ila violation is only if it works daraisa. But what we're trying to suggest within Ula is, no, it's that second layer is only midrabanan. The e midrabanan amay shtei me'ilos. Hachikamer. Uru'uya lim oba shtei me'ilos. Funny pshat, difficult pshat. But the Gemara says, well, what the Braisa means is, you should have violated two me'ilos. Meaning it would have been appropriate over here. Right, it's like philosophy class. Right. had the two of them been Daraisa, you would have violated both Me'ilas. Okay, but the fact of the matter is only one real Isser Me'ila. Okay. It's a difficult shot. But okay, Imesu Ikavru. Okay, and now we're finally up to the last part of the Mishnah. And the last part of the Mishnah deals with what happens when a carbon dies. Meaning, not shechted, not appropriately, but it dies.
Gets hit by a bus. Right.
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 Okay. So what happens if it dies? So, imesu yikber. So, look, we know what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says you have to bury it. And then Rabbi Shimon brings in the position, kachibet kabayis imesu yiftu. Nope, if it dies, you pode, you redeem it. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Le Rabbana. Now, just a quick introduction, and then we're going to really run through a lot of Gemara. There's this requirement in the Torah of hamada v'haracha. Right? The pasuk says, it's in Parshas Bechukosai, im bebehema tameo upada be'erkecha. That regarding animals, well, actually, that pasuk is regarding behemah tameya, but the harich hakohen osa bein tov uvein ra. That the kohen has to evaluate it. Now, there is certainly going to be at one point in time where an animal has to be standing in order to be redeemed. Okay, the Torah is clear about that. What the Torah is not clear about is when do we have this requirement of hamada v'haracha? How many opinions are there on this issue? So I'm going to say two, I'm then going to say three, and then I'll add on top of that maybe even a fourth. Okay, how come there's so many opinions? So first of all, you already see two opinions in our Mishnah, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakhama says that the animal has to die if the animal, sorry, you have to bury the animal if the animal is dead because the Tanakhama says you need hamada v'haracha. Rabbi Shimon seems to say that you don't need hamada v'haracha. What is he going to do with the pasuk? I'll try to explain that. And then there's a third opinion, which is Tana de Be'Levi, I don't know if we're going to get there today. We'll try. And then, even in all this, there's, on top of that, even within the opinion of the Chachamim, a machlokis of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, how to understand the Shita of the Chachamim. Okay? Got all that? I don't think I got all that, but that's a rough sketch of this issue of Hamad Varach. I'm Rav Yochanan, Li Rabbanan. Okay, so here the Gemara lays it out. According to Rav Yochanan, there is always a requirement of Hamad Varacha, and it doesn't matter what type of hektish we're talking about. Kashe Mizbech, Kashe Berek Abayis, there's always a requirement of Hamad Varacha. Meaning, let's get this straight. According to Rav Yochanan, if I'm makdish a donkey, or a camel, something that for sure is not going to be used as a karban, which only will be invested with Kedushas Berek Abayis, and I want to redeem it, it has to be alive. It's the only way it's going to work. Even according to Rav Yochanan, both for Kachem Mizbech and for Kachem Berek Abayis. Reish Lakish Amar LeRabbanan Kachem Berek Abayis Bechlal Amad Devaracha Kachem Mizbech Lo Yu Bechlal Amad Devaracha. Reish Lakish says no, meaning that's not the opinion of the Chacham. The opinion of the Chachamim is only limited to Kachem Berek Abayis, not to Kachem Mizbech. Slightly counterintuitive, you would think that the Kachem Mizbech would have the higher threshold of requirement of the animal needing to be Mamid umarech, standing and living. And according to both Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shimon's requirement of Hamad Varacha is only going on Kachem Mizbeach, but not Kachem Berek Abayis. Okay. You want to think this through for just a moment, if I could try to organize? According to Rabbi Shimon, according to Reish Lakish, the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon are mirror images of one another. Right? Where, according to Reish Lakish, the Chachamim require Hamad Varacha by Kachem Berek Abayis, not by Kachem Mizbeach, and Rabbi Shimon is the flip. Where the Reish Lakish requires Hamad Varacha by Kachem Mizbeach, and not by Kachem Berek Abayis. Whereas, according to Rav Yochanan, It's not a mirror image of one another. The Chachamim always require Hamad Varacha, according to Rav Yochanan, and Rabbi Shimon only requires it by Kachem Mizbeach. Okay. Of a different hakol, Balmum Ikaro lo haya b'chol Hamad Varacha, and if something's a Balmum Ikaro, it does not require Hamad Varacha. Okay, according to everybody. Tanan. So, here we go. We're going to take a look at our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kachem Berek Abayis, Shemesu Yiftu. So, Rabbi Shimon says that Kachem Berek Abayis, that dies, needs to be redeemed. Kachem Berek Abayis. Bishlam L'Rav Yochanan Dama L'Rabban Nechaz Avechaz Ayu B'chlam Adavaracha Hayni Yedid Tzirich Rabbi Shimon L'Frusha Kachem Berek Abayis, Shemesu Yiftu. Yeah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the sequence of the Mishnah is perfect. Because we start from the Chacham and we say everything requires Hamad Varacha, and there's Rabbi Shimon saying, no, I'm limiting it. Right. So you understand how that conversation went according to Rabbi Yochanan. Ela Reish Lakish Lama Leila Frusha Lema Yimeisa Yiftu. Yeah, how is that conversation working according to Reish Lakish? So Amalecha Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shimon Laviyad, my Dhamma Tanakama. So what Reish Lakish will explain to you is that there was miscommunication. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon did not understand the Chachamim. Look, if you're talking about Kachem Mizbeach, I agree. There's this requirement of Hamad Varacha. But if we're talking about Kachem Berek Abayis, if it dies, you can redeem it. Tanya Kavase de Rabbi Yochanan. And now the Gemara is going to bring supports for Rabbi Yochanan from Abraisa. The pasuk says, if an animal which you're going to offer, and the Gemara darshins, this is a braisa, we're talking about an animal that was a blemished animal. Now, what do you mean a blemished animal? Maybe it's talking about an animal that is a behemah tamea, meaning an animal that's not fit to be brought as a carbon. Read on the parsha, and you'll see in parshas Bechukosai, it deals with the behemah tamei already. So Amahamin and Mekayim the im kol behemah asher lo yakrivim memen karban Hashem bebalei mum shiyifto. Okay, so therefore we're on the top of Lama Gimel. We're talking about animals that were blemished. Animals that were carbon that were blemished. Yachol yifto amamover. Now, I might have thought that I could redeem it if it's only a temporary moon. It has to be an animal that's permanently blemished. Good. And the Brisa concludes by saying, and this animal requires hamada v'haracha. Good. Okay, so the Brisa says that if you have an animal that's a balmum, it requires hamada v'haracha. Amar Rav Gido, Amar Rav Maitamid Reish Lakish, Amar L'Rabbanan, Kachi Betekabaita Yubachla Hamad Averacha, Kachi Mizbechla Yubachla Hamad Averacha. The Amar Krav, the Gemara now is going to explain Reish Lakish. And the explanation goes like this. Again, we go back to the same Pasuk. V'herich HaKonosa Bein Tovu Bein Ra. Ezo Davish She'enu Chaluk Bein Tovu La Ra, Havi Amar Zei Kachi Betekabaita. Which category of Kedusha do we not care about blemish or not blemish? Kachi Betekabaita. Meaning, when I'm mocked or something, Gebedek Abayas, we never investigate. Does it have a blemish? Does it not have a blemish? Who cares? It's all going to Gebedek Abayas. And it requires Hamada Vaharacha, which means that Kachem Mizbech does not require Hamada Vaharacha. Rav Yochanan Osalamute, Malamute, Babamamikaro. And Rav Yochanan will tell you, no. I agree with the Drasha. I don't agree with how you darshaning. Yes, there's an exclusion, but the exclusion is an animal that was balmum meikara, which means that it was never invested with kedusha tzagof. Good. Uletana debe levi damar afil balmum meikara bechla hamad avaracha. Now there's a third opinion, as I mentioned in the beginning, which is Tana debe levi. And Tana debe levi says that even a balmum meikara requires hamad avaracha. Did ni levi akal you bechla hamad avaracha v'afil balmum meikara v'chein tani levi b'masnitz afil chaya v'afil ofos v'haksi v'osa. So the Gemara says, now, according to Tana de Bei Levi, there's that drasha of Osa, so kasha. So the Gemara says, look, I don't know what Tana de Bei Levi is going to do with that drasha of Osa. It is difficult. Okay. All right, we're going to pause. Okay, good. We covered the Mishnah on Lamed Beis. The three points of the Mishnah are no shinui, no changing. Once you lock in a kedusha, it's rate locked. That's it. You're locked into that kedusha. You can, if you have a karban, be maktish on top of the karban. Give another layer of kedusha on top of the karban. The conclusion is not like Rav Huna. You could give it either hektish ilui bedek habayis, or you can give it charmei kohanim as well. Okay. What happens at that point in time is that now it's invested with that extra layer of kedusha, which you now have to give to the Beit HaMikdash. There is a comment of Ula on the bottom of the Amud, which gives us the idea of transfer of ownership, that when you're Maktish a Karban, essentially what you're doing is you're transferring ownership. Sounds like Ula is disagreeing with our Mishnah. Could be that Ula is just describing what's happening on a Daraisa level, and our Mishnah is describing what's happening on a Durabana level. That's the way the Gemara sounds like it concludes. There's this requirement of Hamada Vaharacha. There's the opinion of the Chachamim, two versions of the Chachamim. Two understandings of the Chachamim, I should say. Rav Yochanan says that according to the Chachamim, you always need Hamad of Aracha, both for Kachem Mizbech and for Kachem Berek Habayis. According to Reish Lakish, it's only for Kachem Berek Habayis, not for Kachem Mizbech. According to Rabbi Shimon, right, the second Tana, only for Kachem Mizbech do you need Hamad of Aracha, not for Kachem Berek Habayis. And then there's a third opinion, which the Gemara introduces to Tan de Bei Levi, who says that you always require Hamad of Aracha, even if the animal was a Bamum Me'ikaro.